This is the 4-0 Written All Over It podcast.
Hello there, good evening. Well, good afternoon, good morning, whatever time you may end up listening to this. A very warm welcome back to the 4-0 Written All Over It podcast. We are delighted that you've chosen to click us and spend a little bit of time alongside us this evening. Tonight is a big night. We are just about to build up to the Sheffield Wednesday game this weekend. The league leaders as well. Sheffield Wednesday are in town this Saturday to play Pompey. We're going to have a little look back on last weekend's trip to Cambridge. We'll also briefly chat through Barnsley as well. Two away trips. One was a success. One was slightly less than a success. And we'll also look at some wider footballing questions this evening too. We're going to have a little chat about a certain Mr. Gary Lineker as well. Before we do, I'm going to welcome in Ollie to the conversation tonight, who is with me as he always is. How are you, sir? Welcome.
Wow. Thank you for having me back.
for your own podcast.
For the 13th episode of our own podcast. People obviously like listening to us for some unbeknown reason. Is it 13th episode? I think it is, isn't it? Lucky number 13?
Well, it's unlucky for some.
It's actually my lucky number 13. I once had a guitar exam on Friday the 13th, and the day before, I broke my little finger. But I still got a merit in the exam, so I was quite happy with that. So it all went well. So yeah, Friday the 13th has always been a lucky day, and number 13 has always been a lucky number. So I'm happy with number 13. I think we've obviously proven that people like listening to our chitter-chatter about football, and hopefully it's given everyone a bit of insight into Pompey, which is another perfect aspect of what the podcast is for.
We know there are lots of good Pompey podcasts out there as well, and we appreciate that people are taking the time to listen to specifically our one as well by way of supplementation. Right then, let's crack on with a little bit of chat, shall we? And we've obviously got quite a lot of football to talk about because we've had three games since we last spoke to you. We'll kick off with Cambridge, Ollie, and that was obviously a good day, courtesy of Tommy Lowry being back in the side. A fantastic ball in from Owen Dale to link up with Colby Bishop, two Pompey players that have actually received a little bit of criticism recently, but I think they've silenced any critics or did silence critics over the weekend for that goal. It could have been Colby that scored that one. I actually thought at the time it was Riley Towler when you see it nod in. I think it almost kind of comes off both of them. Great to see it a 3 points away from home. Although Cambridge probably should have scored given the amount of chances they had, particularly in the first half. Is it perhaps for you a sign of a good team that Pompey ground out a win? Or is it just a sign of Cambridge being so poor in front of goal, couldn't finish their chances and couldn't put the game to bed as early on as they possibly could have and should have done?
I think that is... The Cambridge game's a perfect example of when we didn't turn up with our best, but we were able to get the result. Because the way we've been playing of late, you know, prior to this, we won 3-1, 4-0. Not in that order, the other way around. But we've come in and we've scored a lot of goals and we've been very aggressive, very attacking. And I think the Cambridge game was almost like a back down to earth a little bit for the boys. We didn't quite deliver the performance that we expect in terms of the individual performances of some of the players, but also the team performance. You know, we didn't work overly well together, I don't think, but we managed to get the 1-0 win. And at the end of the day, there's, you know, there's no pictures on the table, is there? There's no videos there to show how you played. So... We're in a position where we got those 3 points, and I think it was a vital 3 points and a very much needed 3 points away from home there. I think it could easily been one of those games we lost 2-1, 3-1, and we maybe would have lost in the past, but we managed to hold it out, keep the confidence high enough to press forward. And what a great finish that is from Colby Bishop, by the way. What a, you know, a fantastic header. That was 2-2 for him as well.
Three and three now as a result of Barnsley too. So
3-3. So yeah, that's what I mean. He's on a good little run of form, which is nice to see, because I think that, again, like you said, he's been criticised quite a bit for some strange reason, being our top goal scorer, and people saying he's not good enough, which I don't quite understand. And I think that header that he scored there as well against Cambridge, it just goes to show like the amount of commitment. Is it against Cambridge? Sorry.
Yeah, Cambridge.
For some reason, I had Cheltenham sat in my head there. But no, against Cambridge, the header he scored there, you know, he's very committed in that moment. He's fighting for the ball. He's jumping for that last ball. He's throwing himself in, like himself, in front of the line of danger to get himself in that position to win that ball in the air and to put a shot on target. So I think that shows his commitment to wanting to score goals and why he's been such a great asset for us so far this season.
He did the same for the Barnsley game as well, which we're about to go on to chat to. Before we do so, and I was just wanting to build on what you were saying there. 3-1 win, 4-0 win, 1-0 win. Each of those all equivalent to 3 points, and that you don't get an extra point for winning by more goals. You don't get less points for having a slightly narrower win. That's all 3 points, isn't it? So you're, what you said about them not being highlights of every game to show you that it's 3 points is very true. And that's probably why sometimes you look at teams and go, how are these guys in this position, or how have they got as far as they have? Because they've ground out gritty wins and they've found a way, and that's added their 3 points.
It's like the year that Leicester won the Premier League, isn't it? It's that as an example. You know, they probably only won every game 1-0. I don't think their goal difference was particularly strong against the people around them in the league, but they managed to grind out those results week on, week out when they needed to get themselves in that position. And it's sometimes the days where you don't bring your best, but you come away with 3 points that actually mean the most to you as a team. So it was nice to see. Definitely a good result for us, and a good little winning streak, 3 in a row. Like we said, we're about to talk about Barnsley, which isn't quite as positive. But we said before, you know, you're not going to win every game. I think Barnsley is one we probably needed to win, if I'm honest. I think everyone listening will sympathise with that. It was very much a grudge match. It was a 6-point swinger. And it would have put us in a very different perspective at this point if we'd come away with those 3 points as well. I think we'd even feel better about the situation if we drew away and we beat Barnsley. I know Barnsley was away as well, but what I mean is we drew away to like Cheltenham, where we didn't really deserve it, and we managed to sneak a win at Cambridge. Sorry. Why do I keep saying Cheltenham?
Mixing them around.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm useless today. but yeah, I think if we'd got the draw away at Cambridge and we'd beaten Barnsley, we'd be sat here very positive and going, yes, great. Reality of the situation is we're only 1 point different from that run of results. But we sat here feeling very, very different about the prospects at the end of the season. And I think everyone is going to share in that who's a Pompey fan.
Definitely. It felt like, as you quite rightly said, it felt like one we needed to win. And it actually felt like we would be able to show what we can do and actually be impactful in a game that matters. And unfortunately, it just really demonstrated, Ollie, the gulf in class between a team that is in the playoffs and deserves to be in the playoffs versus a team that wants to be in the playoffs, i.e. Pompey, but isn't quite there yet in terms of the quality and the ability to win against the top six side on the road, which sounds pretty simple, but it's something that we seem to not be able to do under Mourinho at the moment.
Yeah, we just seem to be extremely streaky. You know, we go through these phases. Don't get me wrong, I think under Mourinho, we've put in some really good performances, even in games we've lost. So, yeah, I think that we've played well in a lot of games, even the ones we've lost. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's quite evident against Barnsley, we had something like 60% possession in that kind of region. And we just didn't create enough, is the honest truth. If you look at the shots and the shots on target, I think they had something like 17 shots against our 6. And we had 3 on target against their 7. You know, they had more shots on target than we had in the entire game, which isn't a recipe for us to win a game. Let's face it. So we've obviously done a lot of good things there to maintain possession and keep the ball for that majority away against a good side like Barnsley. But we haven't linked up in the way we need to going forward. So whether that's coming from the midfield distribution out to wings, whether the wingers haven't been done enough, whether they just defended us, you know, too well. They put too many men behind the ball and we weren't able to break them down. They countered well. You know, there's loads of different scenarios there where they've obviously set up to play against us better than we've set up to play against them. And that's the honest truth of it. Yeah. But it's not necessary to say, oh, we had an awful game and we were terrible and we were rubbish. There's some positive to be taken out of it. It's just, we're not going to go win every game. And when we don't win a game, maybe losing 3-1 isn't the best away from home against a team that really we want, a team we really want to go beat. But the reality of it is, if someone said to you at the start of the season, you're going to, well, at the start of this year, the win run we're going to go on from when Mourinho's taken charge to now, we'd actually be fairly happy with that amount of points comparably to where we were from
20
October
points
to,
from,
to January.
From a possible 33 under Mourinho since he's come in.
Yeah, so you look at that, that's a, you know, a fairly good win percentage, I'd say. I think that's fairly strong. I think if we had that run throughout the entirety of a season, we'd be very much up in and around the playoff points. The problem is that the damage is done prior to this moment. And I think everyone will sympathise with me and share my opinion that I don't think we're going to make playoffs now. I think that that win against Barnsley or that result against Barnsley has really thrown it for us. If we'd got that win, I think we could have afforded to lose or draw a few games coming in. But I think we're going to be very much up against it now, between now and the end of the season, to get ourselves in that playoff place.
And you think that because of how many points it would swing in our favour. You're driving home from Barnsley with a 6-point gap to the playoffs as opposed to a 10. 6 points is closable because these teams above us are going to have to play each other, and you know that no one's going to be able to win every single game going into the end of the season, and you kind of put yourselves in and around the mix. As a result of Barnsley away from home, I'm now thinking, I think you are as well, that Pompey will probably get within shouting distance of the playoffs, but maybe come up 4 or 5 points short in the end.
Yeah, I think come the end of the season, you know, the other thing as well, we come up Barnsley with a win, we're 4 games on the bounce.
You've got a very different mindset this weekend.
You've got a very different mindset going in against that game, though, haven't you? If you 4 wins on the bounce. The reality of it is we've had 3 wins. The last one came as a 1-0 against a side that wasn't particularly good, and we kind of ground out that result in the end and got away with one there, really. Mm-hmm. We played a decent team in Barnsley that we got fairly battered in terms of, you know, losing 3-1 is not a great result. Granted, at that point, I think we probably would have been pressing to get back to 2-2. So, you know, I don't mind conceding a goal and losing 3-1, going for it and going for the jugular to try and get those points. I'd rather see us go and lose 3-1 than hold on to a 2-1 loss and defend it out. But we're going into Saturday now playing against a very strong side in our division after losing to a strong side in our division, maybe not with the level of confidence that we could be going into that game. I think that we're so streaky, we're so hot and cold. We blow like the wind sometimes, and we don't really know what Pompey we're going to see on Saturday. I don't know whether that's down to the players that are available for selection, whether that's down to the mentality and the attitude of the players going into each individual game, whether it's down to them not being fully settled with the tactics surrounding each game. But I feel that it's, we don't know going into each day whether we're going to go and surprise ourselves and batter someone 4-0 or 3-1, or we're going to go lose 3-1 or 4-0. You know, we don't really know where we stand. We're not in that position where we're full of confidence and we're going, yeah, you know what, we're really happy with the setup. We're really happy with the lineup we've got. We're really happy with how we've been playing. We're going into this game really confident. Yeah, we're going to go win it. We've not really been in that place for a little while now. Really, the only time we were in that place was the start of this season under Danny Cowley, to be honest, when we were going through that run of wins. We thought we were undefeatable. No one was going to get past us. The reality of the matter is that competition's been very high this year. Ipswich, Sheffield Wednesday and Plymouth have all put up, you know, fantastic performances, fantastic runs of wins. We just haven't had our run of it, and we haven't seemed to have the same level of confidence and performance week in, week out that they've had.
The thing that, and just one more thing on the Barnsley game, is you're quite right in what you say about it kind of mirrored the Plymouth game, really. We get back to 2-1 after having been pelted by the away side for large parts and spells of the game. And then actually we play 10 minutes of our best football that we've played all game. And that's not really born out of our brilliance. It's kind of a case of, I mean, I've seen when Pompey teams have been 2-0 up and then gone back to 2-1, the team who's in the leading position at the time automatically has that little bit of kind of relapsing confidence about them and tends to kind of show signs of vulnerability, and then looks like you're about to get in it for 2-2. And then obviously we're pushing and really trying to get that equaliser, because a point in that position is great away from home, and then you go and concede the third and that's the killer, and you're down and out of it. What I was pleased about is, you take a look back at the last time that we conceded 2 in 20 minutes away from home was that Bolton away game where we were managerless and we absolutely just fell to the floor and ended up losing the game 3-0. It didn't even look like scoring all afternoon. I'm delighted that we actually got our noses back into the game and managed to find the confidence and the resilience within us to bring ourselves back into the game for albeit maybe 10 minutes of the game. But at least that's a sign of improvement, and it shows that when we are down significantly in terms of goals, that isn't it for us, and that we actually do have a little bit more fighting spirit in us. And I think if anything, that's something that John's brought to the table. If he can't be winning away from home against top six sides yet, and Tuesday night was a very much a showing of where we are at the moment in terms of winning against the teams and the golf, as we mentioned, then at least we can be in games rather than completely down and out of them. Again, we very much hope. Go on.
I think an important thing to remember is as well, we're not going many games, if any, under John, that we're not scoring.
Mm. Yeah,
you know, we might be losing 3-1, but we're losing.
Lincoln 0-0 was the only game that we didn't score in or haven't scored in under him in 11. So
that's what I mean, and I think it shows his mentality in terms of attacking the goal. Mm. I think that we've changed our mentality around that, and I think it shows again with Colby's goal against Cambridge, the way he attacks the ball, and it was almost like body on the line. Doesn't matter, I'll jump through two defenders to get myself there and get myself in front of that man and, you know, put myself at risk of being taken out into a crossbar. Whatever. You know, he's not thinking of that at that moment. He's thinking, I need to attack this ball and have a go on goal. Mm. And I think that we said the same with Towler. You know, Towler's mentality when he scored those two goals, very much pushing into the last man and chasing the ball into the box and, you know, gambling on it, which is a striker's mentality. And I think that he's breeding that through the team. And that, in my opinion, can only be a good thing. I think that kind of mentality where we are going out scoring goals, that we are going to cause problems for these teams now. We are going to be a bit more of a threat to them than we were before, because previously, you know, I felt that we've been, and I've said this before, I felt that we've been quite toothless in our approach to scoring goals. I think we've relied on big names like Marquis, who should be scoring goals every season. And instead, now we're working as a team where everyone's got an opportunity to score, and our goals can come from everywhere, and they are coming from everywhere. So it's not just one person scoring goals, and I think that does pose a bit more of a threat to teams. We've just got to shore up the back line. You know, if you look at the actual goals against Barnsley, the first goal arguably was a terrible bit of defending from Rafferty, you know, giving the ball away where he did. They countered very quickly, very hard. Raggett got dragged to probably the wrong man. He shouldn't have gone where he went. I know hindsight's a wonderful thing. But I think, I just feel that he could have read that bit better, maybe, as a defender. He could have dropped off onto the man at back post, because that's always where the ball was going to go. You know, if the attacker plays the ball wide, it doesn't matter so much. You know, you can kind of see a ball out wide. They're not going to score from that position, but they are going to score one-on-one with the keeper in front of goal. So, And to be fair to Barnsley, it was a great finish. You know, a really good first-time finish on the left foot to get around Matt Macy, and he placed himself well in that game as well at that point. So it's a shame that we conceded that goal the way we did, because I think we're better than that. And I hope Mussino, you know, really gets into them about that and makes sure that these kind of little errors don't happen, because it's hard enough in this league against teams like Barnsley without giving away goals. If you don't give away that goal, we're 1-1. At some point in the game, arguably going into it with a very different prospect, and then you're fighting against them for who's going to win the game. And that can then go either way. Even if we lost the game 2-1, you kind of feel like, fair enough, we gave it a good run, but 3-1 kind of stings a bit, doesn't it? It makes it feel a lot worse. I know we said that there's no picks on the league table. Losing the game's losing the game, whether it's 1-0, 2-0, 4-0, 10-0. You know, Manchester United lost 7-0 to Liverpool. They still just have got 0 points. It makes no difference.
Yeah. Yeah,
and Liverpool's only got 3, so it doesn't impact anyone. It's just the feeling you get with those kind of losses feel a lot harder to take, and I think it hits your confidence a bit harder as well.
Definitely. Let's move on to a team. Ollie's talking about a loss of confidence. A team that are very, very confident at the moment, Sheffield Wednesday. They are both statistically and probably from a kind of an opinion-based point of view, they are the best team in the league and have been all season. They are 23 points better off than Pompey at this moment in time, 74 points to their name, level on points with Plymouth Argyle at the top of the league, but have a far superior goal difference to
Plymouth Argyle.
With Plymouth Argyle, which means they are
the Green Army.
They haven't lost a league game for 3 months, Sheffield Wednesday, Ollie. They're on a winning streak of an unbeaten streak of 22 games at this moment in time. They do have a bit of a tough run of the next 3 games. They travel to Fratton Park this Saturday. They then host Bolton next Friday and then away to Barnsley the following Tuesday. After that, they then have away trips back-to-back to Forest Green, Cheltenham. They then host Lincoln, away to Oxford, home to Accrington, away to Burton, and then away to Bristol Rovers Following that is Exeter at home, Shrewsbury away, and then Derby at home is their last game of the season. So they could actually quite easily be promoted by the end of April, in my point of view, in terms of running away with it, given some of the runs that other teams have. Let's focus our attention on what's to come for Saturday, of course. As we mentioned, the confidence that we could have given ourselves on Tuesday night is not there, but nonetheless, expecting a booming Fratton Park and a real top billing fixture in League One.
Yeah, I think that the benefit of the position we're in now is that we are the underdogs.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we're going into this game, and when you're going into a game as an underdog, you kind of feel a little bit like you've got a chance. You kind of feel like you could upset the moral of the story and what is written to happen. And that's how I think that we should be approaching this game. I think we should be approaching it as, you know what, we're not expected to win. We're going into this team as an underdog. And I think sometimes being an underdog can be a wonderful thing because you're not expected to win. And I don't think anyone in Fratton Park is going to, you know, be saying, oh yeah, we're definitely going to beat Sheffield Wednesday. You know, arguably one of the best teams in the league. They're in great run of form. You know, like you said, I haven't lost in 22 games. What a fantastic run that is. And we, let's face it, are a little bit hot and cold. We don't know what's going to turn up. But the benefit of it is that we can go into it, that mindset of the underdog, and go, you know what, we can cause an upset. We can ruin the story a little bit. We can change what's actually made to happen and what's written to happen. We can change that and create a bit of tension in the Sheffield United camp. And Sheffield United, bloody hell, we jumped a bit. Sheffield Wednesday camp. And I think we should be going into it very much like we did against Southampton that time in the Cup. You know, when we played Southampton, they were in the Prem and we were in League One, League Two, whatever league we were in at that point. And we knew we weren't going to win that game. But we went in, we really battled, we really fought for it. And the fans got behind the team. Even when we went 3-4-0 down, we were still stood there singing at the end of the game. And I think we can have that same mentality and that same mindset. So that's... Geordie's home. That's what we... Hello, it's your mum. I have to put up with. He's barking at the wrong door. He's at the back door barking. And she's coming in the front. So I think we're going into this. I don't know why he's barking at you, but he's barking. I'll be 5 minutes. All right. So I think it's increasingly difficult with a dog that barks. I think going into this game, we can go in with that mindset of let's go ruin the story. Let's go cause a bit of chaos. Let's break that 22.
Subvert the convention.
Yeah, I think that's what we need to do. We
go
need to
against
go and just
the grain.
We need to go put a cat amongst the pigeons.
That's it.
And just see what happens. You know, if we go into that game with that same attitude of attacking the ball and we manage to get that first goal, all of a sudden it's gonna upset Sheffield a little bit. They're probably not gonna be used to that. It's a fairly decent travel down to the south coast for them. Fratton's quite a daunting place to come, and I think that they'll still be very much in that mindset of they're not running away with it, they're not done. So there's still games to be won there, and they need to keep up that level of performance. So it's not going to be a nice place for them to come, and we need to make it as horrible for them as possible in terms of a real battle on their hands, a real tough fought game, and really chucking ourselves in front of goal and creating some opportunities.
We've lost one more game than they've drawn all season.
Yeah, it's not good, is it?
And they've only lost 3 games. They have drawn 8, though. And they've won 22 of their 33 games this season, which
is pretty good, isn't it? That's
pretty ridiculous.
That is pretty good.
But we shall see. Who knows? I think maybe it's got a draw written all over it.
2-2.
Yeah, because I feel like it'll be a bit as barnstorming as the first game of the season was, 3-3 at their place. I can see it being a kind of a League One vintage kind of game. Or they'll absolutely poultice, but I don't see Pompey winning the game.
No, I think it would be quite nice if we go 2-0 down and drag ourselves out of it back to 2-0 and really be going at them at the end of the game and create a bit of a problem for them. I think that would be a great way to finish a game against a team like that. But let's see what happens. It'll be interesting to see.
Last little bit of the podcast we're going to dedicate to some of the news this week in football. And we are not obviously wishing to politicise 4-0 written all over it when we say this, but Gary Lineker has been in the news this week. A little bit more than the actual news itself has been about the reaction of a presenter to the news, but there we go. Make of that what you will. he's been in the news as a result of some tweets regarding the new immigration bill that has been brought to Parliament by Rishi Sunak's Conservative government to basically stop the boats and prevent more illegal immigration that they have been trying to stop for many years now and have failed to do so thus far. And they are putting out all the stops in order to make sure it happens. It's obviously a vote winner for the Tories, and it's something that they are obviously very pleased to bring in because they're trying to work their way back into the polls. And it's always been a bit of a problem for Labour opposition and Labour governments to tackle the issue of immigration. It's never a nice and a comfortable position for them, but Tories consistently the party of law and order. Where this brings into the football element is when Gary Lineker comes into it and goes, I think that the language and the rhetoric around this being used mirrors that, or is, what was the word he used? He said it's not dissimilar to that of 1930s Germany. Now, making those comparisons are never going to be helpful, of course, and that's kind of what the Conservative government was saying. Some would agree with what he's saying, some would disagree, of course. The question I wanted to ask you, Ollie, is how important do you think Gary Lineker's voice is in all of this? Is it the fact that, or are you on the side of he's allowed to make his own mind up about things and he's allowed to stress his own political views and standpoints? Or would you prefer that someone of his, I don't know, not persuasion, but someone of his magnitude in the world of football, should we say, in terms of being BBC's the BBC's main host for the World Cup and Premier League and FA Cup and Match of the Day? Do you think that he should be getting himself involved and telling people what he thinks? Or do you think he should stay out of it? Football should be football and politics should be politics.
I think sport has a very important role to play in society. I think it's evident by the amount of money in sport. You look at, you know, the Premier League, how much money those players can afford to earn. And that is simply because the amount of people that follow them, the amount of benefit the sponsors get from advertising on their shirts, the amount of benefits that Sky get from playing their games on the TV, and then the sponsorship they can sell in terms of advertising and the people that sat watching that show. So sport is a hugely powerful industry in terms of finance and in terms of, you know, showcasing. It's always showcasing something, whether that's political, whether it's go buy this new car, whether it's you want our new T-shirt, or, you know, whatever it might well be, go to Gusto and get your new food box or something. You know, any one of those things is very, it's enticing your opinion, and it's moving you, and it's changing the way you're thinking about something. And that's the angle that any advertisement's trying to do. And football in particular is obviously huge in part of sport, as part of an industry. Now, I'm not going to form an opinion on anything that's going on in terms of with regards to the way he's set his stall out. He's entitled to his own opinion, is his own person. And likewise, if he wanted to go stand at a Black Lives Matter rally and do that, he could do that as well. There's nothing stopping him. He's got freedom of expression, freedom of speech. The issue comes is, I think the media obviously have blown this up because it's an easy thing for them to sell articles, really. And that's the way the world works, is, you know, that they're quick to jump on misfortune of others and opinions to generate a bit of interest in themselves. And that's basically all they're there for, in essence, is to sell an article to the public and get people to read their papers. So it's a shame that the media aren't being more interested in more important worldly matters rather than the opinion of a presenter on the BBC. But I don't think anything should come of Gary Lineker's opinion. I think that he's fully entitled to his own opinion. Whether that be a bit harsh or not, whether that shares the ideology of the BBC or not, I don't think it should matter. Likewise, they shouldn't be able to employ him or not employ him based on his opinions. You know, he's entitled to his personal opinions, and that shouldn't impact his ability to, you know, because he's a very well-known person and a very well-liked person in the football industry, that shouldn't affect his ability to be able to commentate and be able to host shows because he's got a certain opinion on the way that the world of politics are. I think politics and sport is very interesting at the minute. I think that the likes of Lewis Hamilton in Formula One, he's done a lot for the politics of Formula One and that We Race as One campaign, and, you know, everyone being together and unite and that kind of stuff, and building diversity within a sport. And I think that's great. I think there's been a lot of very good things in football that have gone on with, like, kicking racism out of football and those kind of campaigns, which are also very political, but they're just not seen because it's not, you know, it's just because Rishi Sunak said something and the way he's gone about this policy, and then all of a sudden Gary Lineker comments on it, it becomes a massively political issue and Gary Lineker's a bad guy, or, you know, he's been played to be a good guy from certain cases and a bad guy from other cases. So, you know, people are going to love him for it and people are going to hate him for it. But at the end of the day, he's fully entitled to that opinion. And I think that as long as he's standing for what he believes in and he isn't just bending over to kiss the proverbial bottom of the BBC, I think that he's doing the right thing by himself and I'm all for it. I think that, you know, soon enough, we're not going to be able to say anything about anything we believe in without offending someone or causing a problem. And I don't think that's right either. I think, you know, there's cases in the world where we need to stand up for what we think's right and stand for what we believe in. And if that's what he believes in, then fair play to him. Good on him.
The issue tends to pertain from the element of impartiality with the BBC, I think, has annoyed a lot of people. But he's a BBC sport presenter and doesn't have to abide by the same impartiality laws as someone presenting the news would, for example. So there's even more argument to fuel that one. Right, that's all we've got time for tonight. Thank you very much indeed for sticking with us right to the end, everybody. It really is very much appreciated. We're looking forward to this weekend. We're looking forward to being back in your ears in 7 days' time, Thursday night, Friday, whenever you end up listening to this over the weekend. Hopefully with a couple of wins. And we're off to Accrington as well. So score prediction for Sheffield Wednesday and score prediction for Accrington, Ollie.
2-2, 3-1 Pompey.
Love it. Keep the faith. See you next week. And as always,
play up, Pompey.